For how things have been dealt to us in this life, you're still there. It doesn't change who you are. Actually, it means more to us when we go through our trials and tribulations and we have the hardships that we go through because we know that you are God. It doesn't change anything about you, although we ourselves are changed. But isn't that what we're supposed to do? Change, become more like you. Lord, I pray that as we look into your word now, that you would minister to us, that your spirit would fill us and renew us and make us different than when we came in. More able, more willing, more desiring to serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at the temptation of Jesus. And it's interesting because, as normal for me, or abnormal for most others, we're going to look at it in a different way. We're going to see three parts of the temptation. Obviously, there's the three parts. Satan tempts Jesus to turn stones into bread. He's tempted to prove his deity. And then he's shown all the land and said if he bows down to Satan, then Satan will give him all of what he sees. So the three parts are there. I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 4. In your Bibles, the Gospels, Matthew chapter 4, first book of the Gospels, first book of the New Testament. And we're going to look at these parts. But you know what's interesting to me is as I read through these temptations and began to formulate the sermon that God wanted. You know, it was kind of weird because when I asked Franz to preach two Sundays in a row, it was like all of a sudden I got this sermon. And I was going, no, I really want to do this one now. I want to do it now. And I thought, no. Franz has his time. We've got to let him do that. And this will come. You know, and it comes at a good time because Back to the Basics was really a theme, and this follows along with that. It's very basic things. Satan's been at this a long time. He's been tempting humanity for a long time. And he uses the same tactics that he uses on Jesus in this temptation as he's used throughout time. And so we're going to find out these principles and what his schemes are. But Ecclesiastes 1:9, it's going to be up on the screen, it tells us that what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun, and that's true for Satan as well. He's old hat. He does the same thing over and over again. But you know what? We keep falling for it. Now Jesus, in this particular instance, is being tempted, and it starts out in verse 2. And it says, after Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the understatement of the universe, he was hungry. I don't know about you, but if I go a day without food, I'm in trouble. And worse yet, everybody else is in trouble. Kathy knows so well that, you know, I'm one of those hangry people. I don't get, you know, mean or nasty or anything, but I just get grouchy and I just I need something. And I can't even imagine 40 days and 40 nights without food. I mean, I know last night Larry said there was, what, 3 days you did, and Kathy did two, and I've done... part of one, at least. But you know, you get weak and tired, and you get grouchy, and you get all this. And I would say, wouldn't you say, that you get vulnerable? I would say we become vulnerable. Now, Jesus, he's gone 40 days and 40 nights without food, and he's hungry. And so, what do you think the first thing Satan's going to do? Food. I mean, that's just natural. I mean, he probably heard Jesus' stomach growling across the desert. And so Satan comes in and says, you know, hey, change the stones to bread and fill your belly up. Satisfy your need. Now, you know, the temptation to us is not only food. There's other things in our life that he tempts us with to satisfy our needs. Food is one of them. Feel good is another. Feel good covers a lot of area. You know, I get a little anxious about things. I have this anxiety, this worry. I'm depressed. I'm nervous. I want to be accepted. You know, I get bullied. Not only school has bullies, but even out in life we have bullies. You know, and I just hate that. I'd like to just get them back. And so Satan comes along and he throws these things out to us to satisfy our need. And whatever that need is, you know, I'm anxious. Well, pop a few pills. Reduce your anxiety. I'm depressed. Well, you know, drink a little more alcohol. I'm nervous and, you know, I want to be accepted. Well, you know, use the drugs that they're using. I'm bullied, you know, oh, I'm going to get that guy. I'm going to make him pay for what they did to me. You know, it's a satisfaction of the need, my need to strike out or to be whatever it is that I want to be. And it might even run into cheating and stealing. And you know, Satan's way is, you know, hey, you need it? Take it. Take the drugs. Drink more. Go and have sex all over the place. Steal, cheat, kill, gossip, slander. All those things to satisfy your need. Because, after all, what else is there? And so we find out very quickly when we fall to those temptations that it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't help us. It actually makes things worse. Number two, you know, he goes to this high place in the temple, right on top, the pinnacle. It's like top of the church or even the top of the courthouse, you know, the highest part. And he tells Jesus, he said, jump! You know, because he says the angels are going to attend to you. You know, if you look at verse 6, he says, throw yourself down. He'll command his angels concerning you, and they'll lift you up in their hands, and you won't strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus says you won't put the Lord God to the test. Well, you know what? This is the idea behind it. Does God really care for you? You know, just jump off the building. Let's see if God cares about you. It says in the Bible, your Father's word, that the angels are commanded concerning you. They're going to take care of you. You won't even bruise your foot on a stone. So jump. Prove it. Why aren't you healed? Does God really care about you? If He really loved you, would you still be in the fix you're in? Why doesn't He send angels to attend to you and comfort you? But you're all alone. And God's not going to help you, is He? That's the temptation. The temptation to all of us is that you know, He doesn't care about you. Test him. Let's see. Jump. Let's find out. And Jesus knows better. He says, you're not going to test the Lord your God. Number three is interesting. It says, this, look out. It takes him up this mountaintop. And look out over all that. I'll give it to you if you just bow down and worship me. I'll satisfy your desires. I have all this, Satan says, and I'll give it to you. Fill your lives with all this. On the screen, there's a guy whispering in the ear, that's Satan. Give me your worship. Just give God 1 hour and give me the rest. Isn't that true? Just give God 1 hour. Go ahead. Go to church. That's fine. But give me the rest of your life. Give me the rest of your time. God only needs 1 hour. Come on. We get focused on the things of the world. We get focused on what I can get. We forget all about that God should be our lives. There's something more than this in these scriptures. And as I said, maybe you've overlooked them. It's a very powerful part of these temptations that have been overlooked. He says it twice in the first two temptations. Satan says it twice. The first one in verse 3. He says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. The second one says in verse 6. If you are the Son of God, he says, throw yourself down. We do the same thing, unfortunately. We say, if you really are God, show me. Prove it. If you really are the Son of God, show me. We get sucked into that so easily. Because we go along our lives and we find ourselves in a fix, in a situation, in a whatever it might be, a trial or tribulation, and we go, God, where are you? What are you doing up there? Don't you know my situation? Don't you know what I'm going through? If you're God, if you're really Jesus, my Savior, you can, won't you? You know, it's interesting that we have that inbred in us, I guess, sin. And Satan just has to kind of nurture it. I was teased that way as a child. As a little child, you know, people would come up to me, older kids, and they'd say, you can't climb that tree. I'd say, I can too. They'd say, prove it. Well, then I'd climb the tree and get in trouble. Something would happen. We challenge God the same way. We have all these reasons behind it. And we use Scripture even, just like Satan did. Well, what about Gideon? You know, he threw the fleece out. Abraham, he bickered and dealt with God, and you know, there's all kinds of illustrations in the scriptures about that. We cry out and we challenge God. Show me. Prove it. And Jesus says, I did on the cross. It's not what happens here. It's not all about us. It's not all about here and now. This life is a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. I've seen that all so many times. Just like the illustration this morning that I realized that I'm not here forever. Someday I'm going to die. But we get all tied up in the sideshow, the attractions on the side, and we get the old, you know, you can give God an hour. Give me the rest. And we find ourselves following after our dreams and our desires and all the things that distract us. Who do we worship, really? Do we worship the Lord and serve Him only? I'd like you to look at verse 10 again in chapter 4 of Matthew. When Jesus was taken up to that mountain and shown everything, and Satan says, "Worship, and I'll give it all to you." And Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then in verse 11, the devil leaves him and angels do come and attend to him. I want to say that there's been times in my life, as you know, I've lived here long enough, you all know, the ups and the downs and the trials and tribulations. There have been times where I didn't see him. I didn't feel him. I didn't know he was there or not. And then after the trial was done, then I saw, it's like my eyes were open. And I saw, he was there all the time. It's kind of like he was, you're sitting in the room with your sick child and you put the cold rag on their forehead and you take care of them, but then you might sit in a chair off to the side in the dark and just pray and you might snooze a little bit, but you'll wake up to make sure that the child is okay. But the child isn't going to sense your presence there. You're in the dark, you're in the corner. But you're there. God wants us to trust Him. And in His Word, He's given us all the reasons to trust Him. He's the only one that can fill that hole that's in your life. Oh, you can try and fill it with all those things that Satan tells us will fill our needs, like the food and the drink and the drugs and the sex and the stealing and the cheating and the killing and the gossip and the slander and all those things. And Satan says, "Oh, that's going to make you feel better." It's like, we wonder why the shootings happen and these people go into these schools and go into other places and shoot people and kill them because they think that's going to make them feel better. And it doesn't. And most of them end up killing themselves because of that. I'd like to run a testimony. It's on the screen, and this is an individual that went through some very difficult times in his life, but God met it where it was. So go ahead and play that. I didn't understand why I
he took me in the office and he was asking parents and first question he asked me is where do I live? And at that moment I was all sick. I was just letting you know I'm going to live where I live. And he caught up with people and came and he prayed for me and they were like, you know, thank you, okay, we're going to work through this. And he introduced me to a couple of people at the church and
another name for the gospel is the good news. And you know, we heard that here that there is a lot of anxiety and a lot of worry, a lot of depression, a lot of trials and tribulations you go through. But the good news is that Jesus will fill that hole. He will take that away from you. And He will give you peace, just like this guy saw and felt and experienced. Peace and joy that he never had before. Always searching, but never could find it until he met Jesus. I'd like to take a moment and have a word of prayer before we close the service this morning. Father, as we come before you, human beings who are tempted to do things that will satisfy, or at least we think will satisfy us temporarily, hoping it'll satisfy that missing part, but it never does. All the alcohol in the world does not satisfy. All the drugs in the world will not satisfy. All the women or men will not satisfy. No matter what goes on in our lives, even health, we can have 100% health. And that won't satisfy either. It's only one thing. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that's struggling with the trials in their lives, struggling with health, struggling with drugs or alcohol, or struggling with something else in their lives that they keep thinking that's going to satisfy them and fill their lives with joy. Lord, I pray that they would seek you now. That they would give up fighting it and give you their lives. And Lord, I pray that they would just pray, Jesus, I've been fighting you too long. And I don't want to fight anymore. I want to give you my life. I want to trust you with every part of it. I want to serve you only. And Lord, I pray for those that maybe we've been Christians for a while, but we're giving you 1 hour and we're giving Satan the rest. We may think we're giving it to ourselves, but we're really giving it to Satan. I pray that we would turn around today. No more of this 1 hour for you, but it's going to be our whole life. And that we would pray, Lord, I will not let Satan have any more of my life. I will give you 100% of my worship. I will serve you only because I cannot serve two masters. I want you to fill every part of my life with your Spirit. Lord, thank you so much that we can come here and that we can renew our lives. We can get refocused. We can find the real things that you want from us. And as we leave here different. We leave here renewed. We leave here saved. We leave here with good news. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to fill us throughout the rest of this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last song is going to be up on the screen.